The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. With available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Welcome to the Early Edge Championship Sunday Mega Preview presented by BetMGM. I am so excited for this show. I know Nick Sedaris is excited. He said he's here for the Stoic One. I'm here for the Stoic One. And for Mike McClure, let's bring on the guys as we dive into Championship Sunday. I'm here from the studio in Fort Lauderdale. It's beautiful. I'm looking at cameras all over the wall, guys. So I apologize for that. But first, any takeaways from Divisional Weekend that you think are going to be relevant this Sunday? And I'll start with you, Mikey.
I think you still got to, on Kansas City side, watch some of the injury report with the offensive line that could come into play in this one. And then as far as the rest of the games here, you know, San Francisco probably didn't deserve to win. Do they bounce back to form, or do they play the way they have a couple of times down the stretch? So, yeah, I think that there's definitely things to consider. And then, of course, Patrick Mahomes, you know, bet against him at your own risk as an underdog in the playoffs.
That's called foreshadowing. Two things before I get to RJ. Please hit the like button. And number two, please put your questions in the chat. Any prop questions you have, or side or total, or anything that you're looking to play, put it in the chat. We will try to get to it. RJ, how about you?
Yeah, interesting. The Detroit defense allowed another big game to the opposing quarterback. 5 weeks in a row, I think, allowing big games yardage-wise. So we'll see. If you figure if that's going to keep happening, they're going to lose one of these games. But they've had a pretty comfortable win last week. So we'll see if they can continue that and pull off the upset in that game.
Yeah, 8.5 yards per play allowed to Baker Mayfield and per pass. And that was the lowest they've allowed the last 5 weeks. Dak Prescott threw for 345. That's the lowest in the last 5 weeks. So opposing quarterbacks are just going off. That has me definitely looking over on Brock Purdy, regardless of whether Debo suits up or not. But first, let's get to the Ravens and the Chiefs. And Mikey, I'm just going to start because I'm on the Ravens. I laid the 3 at -120. I know the Chiefs have looked good the last 3 weeks offensively. Finally got some touchdowns going against the Bills, but the Bills were so banged up. The Dolphins were so banged up. And then the Bengals are horrific defensively. Now you're facing a Ravens team that only had to be on the field for 46 plays. They didn't get a turnover. They didn't get a sack. And yet it is the best playoff game defensively since 1999. I saw a stat on Twitter in terms of EPA per play. I mean, the Texans couldn't run it, 2.7. They couldn't pass it, 5.3 yards per pass. They only had 10 first downs. I don't think this Chiefs offense is currently constructed is dramatically better than CJ Stroud and the Texans, although Patrick Mahomes, we have to admit, is in another class. And you look at the Chiefs defense, 78 plays on the field in Buffalo. They got gashed for over 180 yards on the ground. What are they going to do to stop Lamar Jackson in that ground game that put up 229? I also saw a stat where the Chiefs struggle defending runs out of the shotgun, and Lamar has run a ton out of the shotgun. So I think it sets up well for a Baltimore win. I'm not calling for anything decisive like a 10-point win or a 20-point win, but to win by a touchdown, to win by 4 or more, I think is very doable. Mikey, I know you're going opposite me. Let's hear it.
Yeah, well, I will say awesome job getting the best of the number there. I do not think you will see or sniff anywhere near a -3, -120 the rest of the week here. I actually think this thing is going to touch four for a little bit, but I am on Kansas City side. Once again, I think that they're undervalued. The Baltimore side is clearly the better team. I think there's very little doubt about that. What I don't think that should be happening is I don't think you should be getting north of a field goal with Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs, just knowing the way that they like to play football games. They're going to keep that clock running and they're going to have long sustained drives. I do think they'll have success between the 20s against Baltimore. Baltimore had a great performance against the Texans, but the Texans were, in my opinion, not a great football team. I backed them to beat the Browns. The Browns were not a good football team. We're talking teams, in my opinion, that are not in the top 15 of the NFL. And when you look at this Texans defense, that Texans offense, they have massive home road splits. But before the game against Baltimore, they actually didn't play a defensive unit that finished in the top 14 in terms of being a defensive unit. So I don't think that they played any really good competition down there until they got to Baltimore. So this is one where I like the Kansas City side here. I've played it at 3.5. I've played it at 4.5, -125. I played the money line all the way up to +170. There are lots of different prices floating around in the market here as books try to really gauge where their action is going to be here. But I like the Chiefs definitely to play the +170 here. I personally think they're going to be able to run the football. Just essentially just kind of were able to stack the box and shut down all the run game. I don't think you can do that against Patrick Mahomes. I think if you try that, I think he will find a way to pick you apart no matter who he's throwing the football to. So once again, I will be on the Chiefs side here. Interested to read your officiating article that will likely come out later this week on this one.
Well, that was a gut punch when we found out that Sean Smith is going to be the ref who's been one of the best, if not the best refs for road teams historically. And I want to dive into that more. And I should note for anyone who's not watching but listening to this show, Mike has a half a unit at 3.5, a half a unit at 4.5, and a half a unit on the money line, all for the Chiefs. RJ, we have a major dispute here. Settle it.
Yeah, I understand what Mike's saying. I just think that you need to be on Baltimore here, even at -3.5. I think they're just a much better team. And even with the Patrick Mahomes factor, this feels like a game they could win. I know Mikey's laddering it the other way. I would consider laddering it toward the Baltimore side. I think we're still underrating how good this team is based on how they performed during the regular season. You know, anytime they had a big test like that San Francisco game, they clearly aced it. So this just seems like a very strong team. And the Chiefs team that I've seen coming down the stretch, not obviously isn't up to what it was in the past, but doesn't really feel like it's on par with this Ravens team. So I think this is a game the Ravens can go out and win. I mean, they did a great job adjusting to the extreme blitz that Houston threw at them last week. Did not expect that to happen, but Houston threw everything at them blitz-wise, and in the second half, they played really well. It's hard to see what Kansas City has that's going to shut them down. I think they're going to score their points. Baltimore top three in yards per rush and yards per pass in regular season, so they can attack the Kansas City weakness versus the run like you were talking about. Kansas City 28th in interception rate, couldn't pick off Josh Allen, and Baltimore's offense also top three in interception rate, so likely to protect the ball there, not give it away on the Lamar front and make, you know, Mahomes have to go and be pretty much perfect. That's the key to those drives that Mikey's talking about and get touchdowns instead of field goals, which was a problem before that Buffalo game. And even early in the Buffalo game when they had to kick two field goals early, thought that Buffalo might have the edge from there, but then Kansas City obviously got it done. So we'll see what happens. My ratings have Baltimore 4 points better on a neutral. I just think they're so much clear of the rest of the AFC, and I don't think the market's valuing them high enough. So obviously at home, I would definitely play the 3.5. I'm going to hold out hope that Mikey's wrong, though, and hope that we can get three before I play it.
And I'm going to get to your official play on the game, RJ, in 1 second. We had a question about Lamar over 63.5 rushing yards. Definitely, I am leaning over. I like his attempts better. It was 9.5. I would still go over 10.5 attempts. I think this is a major running spot for Lamar after what we saw Josh Allen do. Let's look at the total briefly, and then I want to get to RJ's play, official play on this game. The total sitting at 44.5. RJ, actually, why don't you go ahead and give me your lean on the total and your official play.
Yeah, my lean on the total is the under. Feel like Kansas City's going to have trouble, scoring points. My official play is them going under 20.5 points. They faced, like you said, a bad Cincy defense and two beat-up defenses. I thought the Buffalo defense would still be able to get it done and have enough healthy players to get it done, but that obviously didn't happen. This is going to be a much tougher opponent, healthier defense, much better than those teams. Third in yards per play, first in yards per pass, second in red zone success rate, where Kansas City has been mediocre. So this feels like a field goal game to me for Kansas City, where they're going to have trouble getting into the end zone. I like them going under 20.5 at minus 120.
The Ravens team total over 23.5. That's a question in the chat from Brandon Silva. Mikey, you want to handle that one?
Yeah, I have just the slightest of leans to the under in the game, which would put me on the under on the Baltimore team total as well, since I'm on the Kansas City side. I'm not touching the total in this game. I think there are a number of paths where this game could be a 2017 game, or it could be a game that's, 31-27, I think is very, very possible. It all comes down to what is Patrick Mahomes able to do offensively, right? I think that Baltimore is going to have success. Kansas City, this is the best defense they've had in a long, long time. Definitely the best defense Patrick Mahomes has played with. The question is can they stop Baltimore in the red zone at all? If they can make Baltimore settle for a Justin Tucker field goal, it's very possible that this game ultimately lands under, but I'm not touching the total in it. I think that they're going to be able to move the football. I'm right on the number. It's 43.9, 44. So that's where I'm at there. I will comment on Lamar Jackson quickly. You couldn't pay me to take his under. You could offer me under 63.5 rushing yards at probably plus 170, and I wouldn't take it, to tell you that. So I love Lamar Jackson rushing in this game. There are only scenarios that he doesn't get this number, in my opinion, are the scenarios where the defense for Baltimore scores multiple touchdowns or he leaves the game early due to injury. Otherwise, the football should be in his hands. They got a glimpse of what Josh Allen was able to do. He's a lot better runner than Josh Allen and has way more to work with offensively. So, yes, only one way to look on that total for Lamar. I wouldn't be shocked to see it close at 70.
And for me, the Ravens team total 23.5 is an over or nothing. When you look at the way Baltimore attacks, they want to attack the middle of the field. They could get Mark Andrews back. Isaiah Likely has been very dynamic. And the chief strength to me are those outside corners. But that is not as much of a concern because that's the way Baltimore attacks in the middle of the field. So I would lean over on that. I do see a nice comment in the chat. Let's see who it's from. But anyway, he's riding with Mikey and he doesn't care because Mikey has made him so much money. And if he goes down in flames and the Ravens run away with it, he will accept that because of how much Mikey has made for him. So appreciate that comment. Go ahead, Mike.
I just had a question for RJ and you, Larry. Kansas City, I think that it's very clear the market's been a little down on them and for great reason, right? Say the scenario happens where Kansas City gets the football first, they march down the field, score a touchdown. Do you think the live betting market is still going to treat it as if the pregame number was 3.5 trending towards 4? Or do you think they make an adjustment and treat it as if this was a 1-point spread, 1.5-point spread if Kansas City? Because that's what I'm looking for, and that's what I think happens, and that's where I'll be looking to potentially start grabbing Baltimore live.
Yeah, I think they do adjust. I think Kansas City needs to play ahead in this game. And if they get ahead, it's going to be a lot easier for people to buy into them being able to salt this game away. So I think that adjustment will happen. They just won't assume Baltimore's going to all of a sudden go up and win the game by 4+ points.
Cool. That was my thinking for sure. So.
And to me, both coaching staffs are unbelievably top-notch. When you talk about Spagnuolo and Harbaugh, and it's just – and Andy Reid, obviously. So this is just – and Mike McDonald. So, you have, the coaching Mount Rushmore going against each other. You have Lamar Jackson against Patrick Mahomes. And Patrick Mahomes has done it every time. I believe, right, there's no time where he's been over a field goal dog and not covered the spread, right? He was 8-1-1 against the number as an underdog going into last week, and now we can say 9-1-1. I need to look back and see what that one loss was. RJ, do you have it offhand?
No, I don't have it offhand.
Okay, well, you're under the weather, so I'm going to give you a pass on that one, and I appreciate you being here, and I appreciate everyone being here, and we are still going to take some questions on that game, so if you have any more prop questions on that game, put them in the chat, and we will get to them. But right now, where are you going to bet this game? Well, BetMGM customers. You sign up today, you get $158 in bonus bets. You place your first wager for at least $5, and you will get $158 instantly in bonus bets, regardless of the outcome, with bonus code EDGE158. That is EDGE158. And of course, that's in honor of Super Bowl 58, which is only 19 days away. Guys, we are going to get to the Niners and the Lions in depth. But first, let's hear from one of our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Well, Big Cheesy is feeling good about Ravens minus 3, and so am I. But right now, we got to get to the NFC with the Niners laying a full touchdown to the Detroit Lions and perfect weather in San Francisco. So this game is going to be something. I'm going to start with you, RJ, because you have an official play on this game. By the way, we're looking at a total of 51. RJ, how are you playing it?
Yeah, I'm going to pass on the spread. I think 7 feels about right, though I do believe San Francisco is going to cover. It got down to 6.5 on Monday. Was hoping that all the positivity on the Lions coming out of that game would draw it down to 6 before I played it. Instead, it seemed like the market said 6.5 was not right, and now all we're seeing is 7. So we'll see if it moves again. Detroit, I know the weather's perfect, but this is a new challenge on the road. They have not played they only played one outdoor game since October. That was against the Bears, went 20 of 35 for 161 and 2 interceptions, Goff did at Chicago in a 28-13 loss. So even if it's not going to be a rain game like it was last week, I'm just not sure that the Detroit pass offense is going to be at its best outdoor in the elements where they're not used to playing. You get the San Francisco defense's 5th in yards per pass in regulation in the regular season. Did a great job slowing down a previously red-hot Jordan Love in that game, who I think was playing better than Goff. So even if the Detroit offense isn't done in by an outdoor matchup, I think San Francisco can still win this game by 7 to 10 points because my official play is San Francisco going over their team total of 29.5. Detroit's defense has been terrible stopping the pass. Could not contain Baker Mayfield and Mike Evans last week. Don't see how they contain this offense. That's number 1 in yards per pass. Going to move the ball at will, even if Deebo Samuel can't go. I mean, Juwan Jennings looked pretty good after the Samuel injury last week. So it just seems like a game where San Francisco is going to get whatever they want through the air and going to be able to soar over this 29.5. And then we'll see if Detroit can handle being outdoors and keep up and make it a competitive game.
RJ, I absolutely love that play because I think what people were missing when Deebo went out is that they didn't have time to adjust, that the game plan was built around Deebo being in there. But I think Kyle Shanahan already knows or has an inkling of whether Deebo is going to play, and he's adjusting his game plan. And with guys like Kittle and Ayuk and Jennings and CMC, they will do whatever they want, I believe, against this Lions defense. But I'm not in a rush to lay it at a full touchdown. Mikey, I want to get your lean or play on the side. And also somebody in the chat asking Sam Laporta anytime touchdown.
Oof, yeah, I don't bet a ton of anytime touchdown scores like that. I don't think that Detroit's going to have a ton of success scoring points in this game. So I lean under the 51. I'm certainly nervous about San Francisco, you know, scoring well up into the 35 plus point range and ultimately getting this thing there. But definitely lean under here. I think the one area that Detroit can have some success is on the ground. When you look at Jahmyr Gibbs most specifically, profile is very similar to Aaron Jones. I think he's going to be able to have just enough success. The question is, do they commit to it enough? I personally think they will for as long as they can. I think Detroit's only path to winning this game is an ugly physical game. I think they have no shot winning going if it requires them to score 31 points or more. I think they know that. So I think the home road splits playing outdoors have always been an issue for Goff. I expect that to continue here. I don't think the San Francisco defense is all that good personally. So we'll see what their game plan is on the Detroit side. But I could see Detroit committing to the run, committing to literally trying to milk every second off of that clock and just get further in the game. So I'm on the under here as a lean. I made the number 49. Don't feel great about investing heavily into it because of the San Francisco side.
You had a great transition there talking about the Lions running the ball against the Niners. I actually thought the Niners' run defense held up pretty well. Javon Hargrave and Armstead are back in the middle. Aaron Jones had, and I was on his prop, and I needed that long run late in the fourth quarter that he broke a 53-yarder. Me and RJ both needed that to cash our prop of combined over 92.5, 94.5 rushing receiving yards, 17 carries for 55 yards until that run. Now, you can say, well, you can't take away that run. Well, to me, that's Aaron Jones. That's an explosive run. David Montgomery is a guy that is not explosive. I think everyone can agree on that. 10 carries, 33 yards last week, 3.3 yards per carry. I'm going under 47.5 on David Montgomery as my first official play in this game. You look back at his last five games, as Jahmyr Gibbs has deservedly started to get more touches. He's averaged exactly 50 yards, but the thing is, the Lions have been ahead basically that entire time. There's been one game against the Cowboys where they were down a touchdown, and that was only in the fourth quarter. Earlier in the game was within 4 points the whole way. So the Lions have not been in a negative game script the past five games of being down, say, 10 points. And now you're a touchdown underdog. You could easily be in that game script. Plus, you just have the fact that you need Jahmyr Gibbs. You need his explosion on the ground against this 49ers defense. I love this play. I love David Montgomery under 47.5. Would play it down to 45.5. And then on the other side, CMC receiving yards over 35.5, 36.5 in that range. Now, if Debo doesn't play, this line is going to go up, because in the two games that Debo missed, 64 yards and 51 receiving yards for Christian McCaffrey. He had 12 targets last week, but he only managed 30 yards. But now he's facing linebackers like Derek Barnes, Dak Campbell. These are bottom 10 linebackers in terms of coverage. They can't stick with Christian McCaffrey. He's had 5+ targets in 4 straight games. I love him as a receiver this week because we all know how tough it is to run on the Detroit Lions. RJ, any thoughts on my two props?
You mentioned how tough it is. Rashad White did a pretty good job. I had Rashad White under 55.5 rushing yards, and he barely stayed under on just 9 carries. I was shocked when he was, rattling off those long runs over and over again, because that's not the Detroit defense. So I shudder to think what's going to happen in this matchup when they're playing a much better running back here. Maybe he does get it going on the ground as much as he does in the past, and it's just a massive game for them, even if Debo isn't in, like we talked about earlier. Could they lean on McCaffrey on the ground game, considering how bad the ground defense looked last week, in addition to hitting those big plays that we know San Francisco's capable of to the big names, Ayuk, Kittle, and even some of the secondary names as well?
Reno in the chat wants to talk about Jared Goff going outdoors, and I think it's a great question. But the thing is, it's perfect weather, so it's not like going outdoors to Chicago. And the guy is from Northern California, and he played there. So it's nothing he's unfamiliar with. So that's why I'm a little hesitant to go under on his passing yards. But I will say an amazing stat I saw from Cleve TA. Dome teams going outdoors in this round, 0-7 straight up, 0-7 against the spread, and failing to cover by more than 25 points a game, with the average score being 38-10. RJ, well, let's start with Mike. Does that outdoor situation that we talked about right there, does that have any relevance with Jared Goff, given how good the weather is going to be?
I think it does. He's someone we've got a pretty significant sample on now, dating back to his former team, too. We love playing him when he's playing indoors in a controlled environment, and we don't when he is not. But I really think it comes down to just the mismatch in this game. I think that the 49ers are still the better team by a pretty significant margin here. You know, Detroit has had a great season. They might be able to have a great game plan. They might have one of the Dan Campbell trick plays that ultimately nets them a big play or a touchdown, keeps them alive here. But I'm not looking to fade Jared Goff on the passing yards, mostly because I think that they could be in a pretty extreme negative game script where they have to throw, where some of those chunk plays will be there. So I personally think there are other ways to attack the game. I'm not going over for sure, but I'm not as high on fading the Goff passing game just because of what I think will be there in terms of some of that garbage time.
The one thing that concerns me about Jared Goff is this is a guy, as you guys know, he lives over the middle of the field. But that's where Dre Greenlaw, that's where Fred Warner are. The Niners defend the middle of the field so well. And even Amon-Ra St. Brown, a lot of his stuff is over the middle. Jared Goff is not very successful on the outside, which is where you need to attack the 49ers. RJ, what about you? What's your projection for Jared Goff?
Yeah, he could have a solid game. I do worry that even if it is perfect weather, it's still playing outdoors, and they just have not done a lot of that down the stretch, or really at all this season. I mean, you look at their schedule, and the last road game they had was at Dallas, before that at Minnesota, and then the Chicago game we talked about, at New Orleans, at the Chargers. So it's like, you know, he hasn't had that much experience, and even if the weather is perfect, it's just you get used to playing indoors in that type of environment. Now you got to go outdoors with this the crowd going against you there. We'll see how he handles it. You know, I wasn't as impressed with him last week. I think a lot of what they did was based off the run game having a little bit more success than we expected against that Tampa defense, and made things a little easier for him. So I don't think that's going to be the case with San Francisco. I think he's going to have to win the game with his arm to keep up with this offense, and we'll see if he's capable. I mean, he's proven people wrong before. He got the Rams to a Super Bowl way back when, and if he could do that, he could certainly do it with this team.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Joseph Swingram, excuse me, in the chat, asking about Brock Purdy interceptions. Now, he put 1.5. I would go under a half if I had to make a play on Brock Purdy, just because the weather is going to be fine. And we saw him struggle in the rain against the Packers. We saw him struggle at Cleveland. But when the conditions are good, Brock Purdy is typically very, very efficient, except against the Ravens when he threw 4 picks. Guys, what are your thoughts on Brock Purdy interception? I'll start with you, Mikey.
Yeah, not something I'm overly anxious to be playing. You know, you mentioned the perfect conditions and the game plan overall for San Francisco. I actually do think it'll be a relatively conservative game plan because I think they're going to be able to get whatever they want. I don't see Detroit stopping McCaffrey at all, really. So, you know, if you want to bet on some ball over the middle, the Kittle being tipped and intercepted, I think that that's okay, but not something I am interested in here. Is I don't think they're going to put Purdy in a bunch of situations to make mistakes here. I think that he a lot of people will call him a game manager. I think that's exactly what he will be in this matchup.
RJ.
Yeah, he's thrown an interception in 6 games out of the 16, 17, however many he played, including the playoff game there. So I don't think it's going to happen. Detroit, pretty bad defense in terms of defending the pass. They do get a decent amount of interceptions, though. So, you know, maybe they're able to find that off of deflection. We saw that happen in that Tampa Bay game. They ate off that deflection there early, really helped them get a lead in that game and put it away. So maybe the luck's with them there. Maybe if Purdy has to rely on a pass catcher that isn't as prolific with Samuel out, like a Jennings or a Ronnie Bell, maybe something slips through their hands and they can get a deflected interception. So you never really know with those type of props, but it does seem like he's going to keep it pretty safe. But I think the big players are going to be there against this Detroit defense. So I don't know that he necessarily just has to go down over the middle and work the middle of the field. I think he can go deep and still not really worry about interceptions too much if he's making good decisions, which, you know, that offense is going to set him up for.
Big Cheesy wants to know about Elijah Mitchell rushing props. And I admit, Big Cheesy, I haven't had time to break those down, have not looked at his props yet. RJ, do you have any thought on a role for Elijah Mitchell?
It depends on how the game's going. If you do think it's going to be a blowout San Francisco-wise, I mean, let's save McCaffrey, who's been dinged up near the end of the season, not have him take too many shots, and then you can get Mitchell, you know, 12 to 15 carries. And at that point, you have to expect him to go over his rushing prop at that point. So really, it's hard to say at this point of the you know, in the pregame. You're just going to have to figure out what your projections are for what's going to happen. And if you're like me, you think San Francisco can win in a rout, I think it's smart to play Elijah Mitchell overs as well.
Mike, I'm going to come to you on Elijah Mitchell if you have any opinion, but an earlier question from the chat, Butker and Tucker, any thoughts on their field goal props?
Yeah, I'm definitely not playing unders on them. Two of the best kickers in the league. I actually think Baltimore will be a little conservative and elect to put points on the board, knowing that the Kansas City might have trouble scoring at all here. So I definitely like the Tucker side. The Butker side, I think, is definitely a fine look. As far as Mitchell, I think it's an interesting call out. I think the thing that was somewhat discouraging is the fact that he didn't get a single carry against Green Bay, even though Debo did leave the game. I think that what the thought process there, and I don't disagree with it. I think it could be something that happens, and I think it should happen. If Debo is out, I could see scenarios where in some packages, not the whole game, but in some packages, Christian McCaffrey and Mitchell play together. McCaffrey's in that passing game, a little bit like the Debo role. That would be the path. But again, for that, I do agree with RJ that you need to be baking in the fact that you could have the Niners up 10 points in this game late for that to really happen. Again, it was very discouraging that he didn't get a single attempt last week.
Haas in the chat was here for your takes on the Chiefs, Mikey, but I would also like you to elaborate because you were talking about playing the Chiefs +3.5, +4.5 and money line pregame. And then if the Chiefs got up early, you wanted to come back and take a piece of Baltimore and try to middle this thing. What lines are you looking to grab with the Ravens live?
The first one that I'll be looking to grab with the Ravens, if Kansas City scores, is I'll be looking to play Ravens money line, hopefully +130 or better. That would require Kansas City to be up a touchdown early or up 3-4, you know, after halftime for that kind of thing to start to happen. But I'll be looking to essentially where I've got Kansas City +170. An ideal buy point would be +130 or more on Baltimore, where I'm still profiting either way on the money line positions. And then after that, you know, if you watch the Buffalo game, I was all in on Kansas City. I did not hedge at all. I didn't bet Buffalo. But if you were someone who wanted to, and I will have far more interest in this matchup in doing it, you could have bet Buffalo +200. You could have bet Buffalo +3.5, +4.5. You could have bet Buffalo +3.5 at even money when they were only down 3 a lot late in that game. So there are a lot of opportunities to bet both sides. I didn't do it against the Buffalo Bills. I was very confident in Kansas City there. But I will definitely be looking to make informed plays on the Ravens side should they fall behind.
Brandon Ayuk, we got a question in the chat about Brandon Ayuk receiving yards. Thank you for that question, Eric David. Sitting there at 79.5, 80.5, pretty high number, but you got to look at the way the number one receivers have absolutely demolished the Detroit Lions week to week to week, and it happened again with Mike Evans. RJ, are you willing to play Brandon Ayuk over before you know Debo's status?
Yes, I am, because he is the primary receiver for them, the number one receiver he's been for much of the year. Detroit has allowed a receiver to top 140 receiving yards in 5 straight games. That's a massive number. So you got a lot of room to play with there for Ayuk. Even if Samuel plays and you think they're going to split some of the work there, it just feels like this is a game that Ayuk is going to top 100 yards. And if Samuel is out, the target share condensed even further. I would be looking to play those alternates and Ayuk to top 100 yards just with how this Detroit defense is playing, because it seems like he's going to be able to hit some big plays downfield, and you're going to get a pretty juicy number there. Hopefully in the like plus, you know, 150 to 170 range in this outcome of him getting to be the sixth receiver in a row to get 100 yards against this defense.
Dr. Straightluck in the chat wants to know about Zach Ertz lines. Have you guys seen Zach Ertz lines posted?
No,
I haven't. No,
it looks like a no. That is a great question, though. And Haas says, you guys rock. Thanks. I want to thank you, and I want to thank everyone in the chat for being here today as we broke down those two games. Of course, we are going to have so much more on these games the rest of the week on the Early Edge and, of course, on Sunday leading up to it. But let's get to our recap screen, guys. And Mikey and I, Mike, I don't think we're having a, before we go through these bets, Mikey, I don't think we're having a showdown because we took two different plays here, Ravens minus three, and you're on the Chiefs at 3.5 or higher. Am I correct? You're not willing to go head-to-head with me at minus three.
I mean, I absolutely will if you want the if we want the showdown and we want some entertainment. I have no problem doing it. Just because I am on the Kansas City money line, I will, you know, I'm not going to ask you for a different price point there. I'll play you minus three at even money.
You're not even going to make me pay you 120?
No, we'll play. We'll
come
play
on. No, no, no. As a man of integrity, I will definitely pay you 120 if you go down to minus three, because that's only fair.
Works for me. Yeah, 100% in.
Jake, I didn't even tell you about this, but hit the music if you got it. I can't remember the last time I had a showdown with Mikey, but I have a vague sense that it did not go well. That said, let's get to our best bets recap. Again, 11-2 in the playoffs, 15-4 the last 3 weeks with these guys up on the screen. RJ, let's hear from you.
I have the Chiefs team total going under 20.5 and minus 120. This is a big step up in competition for them facing a very good Baltimore defense that's third in yards per play, first in yards per pass, and second in red zone success rate, where the Chiefs have struggled a bit. I also have the 49ers to go over 29.5 on their team total at minus 120. This Detroit defense has been very bad, and it's been really bend but don't break for them. They're not giving up a ton of points. They are giving up a lot of yards, and against the San Francisco 49ers, who are first in yards per play and yards per first in yards per pass on the season, I think they're going to score a ton of points in this game. Should get into the 30s.
I love that play, RJ. I kind of wish I was on it already, because we saw 30.5s and 31.5s for the 49ers as the season wound down, and the Detroit Lions are not a good defense right now. Last in yards per play over the past month. My official plays, Ravens minus three going head-to-head with Mikey. Christian McCaffrey as a receiver. He can hit this even if Debo is active, but if Debo for some reason is not active or he's limited, then this one to me is an absolute slam dunk. And then David Montgomery under. He's steady. He's a plotter. He's a guy you want to get the ball in the end zone, but they need Jahmyr Gibbs. I think we're going to see Jahmyr Gibbs get the touches, especially if they fall behind. And Mikey, I'll let you wrap it up.
Yeah, I'm on the Chiefs here. You know, Baltimore, I think that they are clearly the better team if we were to play this game 10,000 times. We are going to play it one time, and I love getting Patrick Mahomes here with the points. When I look at Baltimore, where they're vulnerable on the run. I make them a bottom third team against the run in the NFL, especially in this particular matchup against Isaiah Pacheco. Could they try to stop that and test Patrick Mahomes with their second best pass defense, maybe the first best pass defense in the league? Absolutely. If you're going to put the numbers in favor of Mahomes because you believe you're great, you know, in the secondary, I want to see what Patrick Mahomes can do there. Ultimately, I think it's just another competitive game, and going north of a field goal here, I think Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes is going to do just enough. And then again, we'll look forward to reading more about what I still think is a very small sample size. We'll talk about the referee stats. But the thing you have to consider, everything in the NFL is a small sample size. We're always dealing with sample sizes a lot smaller than we would like relative to other sports.
The lines for the potential Super Bowl are already out. Brandon Silva asked about it in the chat. I believe the Niners are 1.5 over Baltimore. What would they be over Kansas City, RJ?
Okay, over Kansas City, let me pull up my ratings, but I think that they would probably be around 2.5 for me. And mm-hmm. I think that Baltimore San Francisco line is wrong. I was able to bet exact Super Bowl result as Ravens over 49ers because I got better value than 49ers over Ravens. We saw what the Ravens did to them in the first meeting. I don't know why that would be any different here. So I think Baltimore is the team to beat here. Was surprised to be able to get them 2-1 to win the Super Bowl under the 49ers. I know they have a more difficult matchup this week, but they just seem like such a better team right now among the four that are remaining, and then getting 3-1 on the exact result for them to beat the 49ers.
I like it. Mikey, any thoughts on the potential Super Bowl matchups? And Jake, I apologize to Jake, our producer, for taking liberties and going off script. But Mikey, any thoughts on potential Super Bowl lines?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very clear for me the value is going to be on the Kansas City versus San Francisco game, just because I'm much higher than market on Kansas City, like San Francisco. I think that that's where the value lies. I think the most interesting look ahead line, though, is you can bet this Ravens team -4.5 against the Lions. I know the Lions play great in a dome in a controlled environment, but I do not agree with those ratings at all. Kansas City's -3.5 against Detroit, and the Ravens are only -4.5. So that shows you what they think the home field advantage is worth to this weekend in Baltimore.
Very interesting. And we will dive into it not only next week on our Super Bowl mega preview, but also Super Bowl week. We will have another mega preview coming to you live from Vegas in front of the Bellagio. Yes, I will be there. I can't wait. And I hope you join us for that. Stay on this channel. The Early Edge will be back 10 a.m. tomorrow and every day the rest of the week. And, of course, Sunday will be leading right up to kickoff, 1 hour before kickoff with a mega preview show. Thank you so much for joining, and good luck.
Every sport has their big, juicy controversy. Boxing has the Mike Tyson ear bite. Cycling has Lance Armstrong. Baseball has its steroid era. Curling has Broomgate. It's a story of broken relationships, houses divided, corporate rivalry, and a performance-enhancing broom.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
Broomgate, available now.